Hi everyone, my name is Tessa Barker and I will be talking about some research I participated in as an undergraduate at Oregon State University on the impact of season and rooting hormone on propagated olive cuttings. So as many of you might know, olives are traditionally grown in Mediterranean regions. Those are kind of highlighted on the map. Oregon is not technically Mediterranean. We would say that it has sort of a semi-Mediterranean climate. You can see right there. Our research station is located just around the 45th parallel. And so despite the fact that we're right on that sort of borderline climate, the olive industry is starting to take off in Oregon. We have around 20 or so growers. However, most of these are small growers, fewer than 15 acres in production. And you might be asking yourself, why grow olives in Oregon? And the answer is that the growers that have already begun doing this are finding that they can get a really high quality olive oil. In fact, one of our grower collaborators recently won an award at an international contest for their olive oil, so we're very proud of them. And then also, so these growers reached out to us at Oregon State because they are having some challenges, and so we're also getting some attention for that as well, so it's a pretty exciting new project. So some of these challenges facing Oregon olive growers, primarily it's our climate. There is a risk of winter cold damage. Our winters get just a little bit too cold every couple years. Some growers lose pretty much everything. It's pretty devastating for them. And so another challenge is that due to it being a younger industry, we just don't have the sort of support structures around olives in Oregon. And so most growers are purchasing their young plants from California nurseries, and there are a couple issues with that. There's added costs, added risks of damage, plants getting damaged in transport. We've experienced that when we purchased trees from California. And then additionally, the trees that are available, the cultivars available in California, might not be the ones that are best adapted to Oregon's climate. And so this sort of leads into the reasoning for our research. We are interested in developing some best practices for on-farm propagation of olives, and specifically those cultivars that might grow better in Oregon. And so the objectives of our study were to determine the impact of propagation season and hormone type and rate on rooting response on olive propagation in Oregon. And we looked at three seasons. We looked at spring, summer, and fall. And typically in the literature, you see that olive propagation in fall tends to have the best results. However, that's usually going to be in climates that are very different than Oregon. Our falls are going to be much cooler and wetter than those, so we wanted to see how they performed in Oregon. And then we looked at two different types of hormones at three different rates, and I'll be referring to those as the 3H, 8H, 2D, and 4D. And so since our research project, all of our trees are very young and we can't yet propagate from them, so we worked with a grower collaborator in Dayton, Oregon, and they have a large mature Arbequina olive collection, and so we took our propagated material from those trees, and for the spring propagation, that was May 25th, for summer, July 24th, and then for fall, that was October 15th. And we placed the cuttings into a 1-to-1 peat perlite media mix, and they were grown in greenhouses with automated mist and bottom heat. And so we let those grow for 90 days. We would adjust the mist settings as needed based on changes in weather. And then after 90 days, we took our data. We collected the combined root length, the primary root number, and then percentage rooted. And in all of these cases, we were only considering roots that were 5 millimeters or greater. And so to take a look at some of our results. So in spring, we found that there was a significant impact of hormone rates on the number of primary roots. And here you can see that the 8H performed kind of stand out from everything else. It was a much greater number of primary roots. And then we also saw a significant impact on total root length. And once again, that was the 8H, but then also the 3H showed similar results. And so here you can see up in the upper right-hand corner, the 8H with the greatest root number and length, and then the 3H also had higher numbers of, or greater root lengths. So in the summer, we did not find any significant impact on either root number, root length, or rooting percent between the hormones. Overall, you can see also that it was just sort of generally less successful than in the spring. The rooting percentages were much lower, number of primary roots. Everything was just a little bit subdued compared to the spring. And then in fall as well, we did not actually find a significant impact from the hormone rate. And here you can see that the rooting percentages are better than summer, but still nothing quite approaching what we saw in the spring. And so we did an additional trial in the fall where instead of using the automated mist, we used these covered trays that you can see here. And the reason for doing that was that, as I said before, we were trying to find methods for on-farm propagation, and some of our growers might not have greenhouses with automated mist systems. And so instead, an option for them is to use these covered trays. And we determined that probably that could really only take place in the fall, that in summer, as Oregon having that sort of semi-Mediterranean climate, our summers are typically hot and dry, so you don't really want to be taking any chances not using the mist then. And so we found this pretty interesting that there was an impact here of the hormone rate on actually everything that we measured: number of roots, total root length, and rooting percent. And so here, sort of interesting that pretty much everything performed similarly well, except for the 4D did not do quite as well. And then for total root length, you see also significant, once again, 2D and 3H doing pretty well. And then for rooting percent, the same as the number of primary roots, basically everything's doing kind of pretty similarly, except I like to point out that the 3H, we got 100% rooting, and we found that to be pretty fascinating because that was actually the highest rooting rate of anything in the entire trial. So that was pretty cool. And so after looking at each season individually, we wanted to compare the seasons across each other. And one reason for this was that we actually did conduct a sort of simultaneous trial at the grower site. And we found, and I'm not going to present that data today, we're still working on analyzing it, but we did find that whereas we were seeing greater successes during spring, they were seeing greater successes during fall, and we can kind of hypothesize it might be due to different management in terms of adjusting mist cycles, but we kind of wanted to see what was going on here, the interactions between season and hormone rate. And we did in fact find an interaction for number of primary roots. And so once again here you can see that spring, the 8H, it performed much better than pretty much everything else. However, we do like to point out that if you look at the other results here, everything else is performing pretty similarly. And so if a grower was maybe limited, maybe they didn't have the time in the spring to work on propagation, that they could achieve maybe, you know, decent results in any season, but if they really want those standout results, that spring 8H seems the way to go, at least in terms of number of primary roots. Then for a total root length, we actually did not see an interaction, so really hormone rate didn't seem to matter as much. It was just the season of propagation and there, once again, spring. And then finally, for rooting percentage, we saw an interaction between both season and hormone rate. And here you can see in spring that actually a number of the hormones performed pretty well. And even looking across in each treatment combination, you can see, once again, pretty good results overall. In summer, some of the percentages are a little bit lower, but overall, sort of the take-home message is you can successfully propagate during any season, but if you want those higher results, greater efficiency, that spring seems to be the better season in which to do that. And so in conclusion, our sort of initial findings are that if you're looking at just that individual season, that the effect of hormone is significant in specific seasons, in spring and then fall if you're not using the mist. However, in summer and then fall with the mist, the hormone type did not really seem to matter. And then if you're looking across the seasons, there is an interaction between those two things, at least for root number and rooting percentage. And we think that really kind of drives home the importance of picking which season you propagate during, and then also sort of thinking about the growing climate. And we need to do some more follow-up research on this, but we're sort of thinking about, well, why why would certain hormones perform better in the spring versus summer and fall? And some sort of initial thoughts are that perhaps, because it's not really just the season that we're looking at, it's the developmental stage of the propagated material, and so there could be different endogenous hormones present that could be interacting with the hormones we're using, and so there's really a lot of different factors there. And so some future directions for this work, we are actually currently repeating this study because, as I said, we did find pretty different results with our grower collaborator, and so we're really looking forward to having that second year of data. Also, though, a caveat, we're having the weather in Oregon has been a little bit unpredictable. Last summer was very hot and dry, whereas this summer we're actually having kind of cooler and moist, and so just in terms of, adjusting those mist settings every day, it's sort of, we're excited to see what happens. Might not be the same as last year. And then additionally, we are doing a trial where we're going to look at the type and ratio of different planting media with different cultivars. There are some that are known to be easier to root and some that are harder to root, and so we really want to look at that. Some of our growers really want to improve their successes with those harder to root cultivars. And then in that trial, we're going to be using the season and hormone combination that we find to be best from this trial. And so I'd like to thank Wester and SARE. They're the ones providing the funding for this project. And then also, of course, OSU College of Agriculture, Marion Polk County's Extension, and then our grower collaborators at Red Ridge Durant Farms. And that's what I've got. It has not yet. Yeah, we're waiting. We would like to finish the second year, and then we'll add in, hopefully, the stuff from the grower's site because it's pretty interesting, the differences. Oh, thanks.
This doesn't have anything to do with the propagation, but what USDA ordinance zone is the area where the olive growers are in Oregon?
Yeah, I believe we're in 8A. Yeah. And so we, I meant to say that we have, in Oregon, most of our growers are located sort of in the Willamette Valley area. That's sort of the more mild temperate area. We do have some growers in the southern portion of the state. However, they've been having a much harder time in the winters, a lot more losses due to freeze and heavy snows. And then we do not have any currently in the eastern part of the state, also too cold.
Thank you.